Well, good morning to each of you. It's good to see you here. It's good to have you with us. We've got some that are away visiting this morning for the holidays, but we've got some here that are visiting for the holidays, so we kind of end up balancing out as far as the number goes. But if you could, any time that you have a chance to come and be with us, we invite you to be with us. Our normal any times are 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, 5 o'clock on Sunday night, and Wednesday nights at 7. But it's good to have you here, and this morning we're going to look at something that I think at some point or another it affects each and every one of us. And if it hasn't affected you yet, don't worry, it's going to. And the idea really comes from a kind of a story that I heard long, long time ago. And many of you probably heard the same story in one version or another. The story goes that two frogs, they fell down into a churn. And it had the milk in there. Maybe you've heard it, two mice fell down in that churn with the milk in there. And one of the frogs, he said, "Well, you know what? There's no way for me to get out of this. There's no way for me to get out of this hole that I'm in. I'm just going to drown. That's it. I'm just going to accept my fate and I'm going to drown." And the other frog said, "You know what? I'm not ever, ever, ever going to give up." And he swam and he swam in that milk. He swam and swam and swam until he had done churned that milk into butter. And he laid up and stood up on top of that thing of butter until somebody came along and took the top off, and he hopped out and went on his life. But he came to that point because he knew that he could never give up. Because he accepted the fact, not that I'm not ever going to get out of here, but he accepted the fact that giving up is not an option. And many times in our lives we come to various points and we go, "You know what, there's just no way out. I can see no light at the end of the tunnel. I'm so far down in this tunnel, down in this cave, I don't even see a light, a glimmer of hope off in the distance that's going to bring me out of this." But in life, giving up is not an option. Doesn't matter what you're faced with, doesn't matter what you're going through, giving up as a Christian, giving up is not an option. In the course of my life, and in those of you who are I would say more seasoned than I am, I'm not going to say old, you've seen people that have come and they've become Christians. And they live a long time in their life, and then they get up in age, 70, 80 years old, and they just quit. They just quit. They just give up. They live 20, 30 years as a Christian, devoting themselves, giving themselves to the Lord, and they just quit. No reason. And it baffles us. And we go, "What got into them? What happened? What was it that made them just all of a sudden give up?" And I think it would be good for us to look and say, "What do I need to do so that I don't give up?" And this lesson, oh, y'all should tell me by a show of hands, don't be shy. Do y'all want one-hour lesson, or do you want two kind of 30-minute? The ones that want the one-hour lesson, raise your hand. The one that want the two 30-minute sort of lessons, got one, two, three. Wow. Yep. You woke up. Well, that's what we'll do then. We're going to kind of break it down. And I'm glad that's what you chose, because that's what I'd rather do. We'll talk this morning about why we can't give up. We'll talk about why we can't give up and why it's not an option. And then we'll talk about, we'll focus in on the book of Hebrews in the second section, in the book of Hebrews, and the idea of keeping on, keeping on. And that should be our motto. But this morning we'll look at this giving up is not an option. And when you, if you get online and you just Google passages or scriptures that say, you just say, I'm thinking about quitting, Bible verse. You'll get you 40, 50, 60 Bible verses that just that one little snippet tells you why you don't need to quit, why you don't need to give up. One of those first Bible verses that come up is James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. He starts out saying, consider it pure joy. Consider it pure joy. And I don't believe James is meaning us fake it. I don't think he's meaning to lie about it. I think he's really genuinely meaning that our demeanor as Christians, as we develop and as we mature, that we should be accepting. Okay, this trial's coming. This is something that's going on. I'm all right with that. I can endure that. I can make it through that. Be joyous in such an occasion that you can show Christ through your trial. This morning I thought, man, I need to add something to this. So I was adding something to this lesson, and I was going on good. And it was just making, you know, man, that's going to look real good. That's going to sound good. And I click save. And I keep like a hard copy at the house, and then I keep a flash drive full of stuff. And man, I thought I saved it to the hard copy at the house. And so I clicked and drug it over, and it said, do you want to replace, or do you want to copy both of them, or do you want to compare them? I said, well, I want to replace it. I just finished doing some, you know, adding on some stuff. Well, I clicked replace to the old one that I didn't add something to. Boy, I was fired up. I get out of here. Everybody leave. Leave me alone. I don't even remember what I put down. But there for a little bit, boy, I was not considering it joy at all to have to go through this. Haley was thinking, this is not joyous at all for him to have to go through this. But we see different types of trials that we encounter. Kind of the first one that comes about is the cause and effect trials. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, we read, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. We can look back at times in our lives where we've had trials that have come because we did something stupid. I did something really that was stupid. I clicked replace when I should have just said, just copy both of them and I'll figure it out later. But that, I brought that on myself, didn't I? Sometimes we like to see how close I can get to sin. How close can I play with that fire without getting burned? How close can I get? And then you look at it a little bit later and you go, well, if I would have never started playing with that fire, I never would have got burned. You have those trials that are brought on by something that you have done or something maybe you can see that someone else has done that's now affecting you to go through a trial. You're going to reap what you sow. As Christians, the second kind of trial I think about, as Christians we face spiritual trials. Just by simply putting on the name of Christ, by being clothed in Him, and by professing to be a Christian, you bring on another set of challenges. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. People see that you're a Christian. People hear about you being a Christian. People hear that you are of a godly nature. They're going to go, well, let's see if we can get him to do something. Let's see if we can get her to do something that's going to slip her up. I'll have something to hold over their head then. And I can get them back on that. They won't ever have anything on me because I'll have something to hold over their head. Or maybe it's just the sheer fact that Satan sees you and he goes, you know what? That's somebody that I don't have that I want. That's somebody that's not following me. And I want everybody to follow me. So James tells us, don't be surprised that these things are going to happen. Consider it joy. Because when you go through these trials, knowing that they're from the devil, knowing what caused them, knowing what is happening, knowing the result of them, you can come out with patience. You can come out with that perseverance that we can endure all these things. The third trial are those which are mysterious, such as to Job, no such source of where they came from can be found. These trials capture more people for Satan because there is no answer as to why. The cause and effect, we can look and we go, well, why did this happen? Well, we look back and go, well, this happened over here. I played with the fire. I went out and sowed some wild oats. This is something that's coming back to me. We can look and go, well, Satan is a time of trying me. But then there's going to be trials that come up in our life that don't really make any sense. Those trials, such as a dear friend, family member, passing away. And we go, why? Why am I having to go through this? There's not really any explanation. Have someone diagnosed with cancer or some other disease and we go, where did this come from? Why are they having to go through this? Why am I having to go through this? And Satan so pressuredly puts these things on people and they go, well, I'm going to give up. I'm not going to persevere. I'm not going to make it through these various trials. Because I don't know where they're coming from and I don't know how to defeat them. To defeat the trials, you must trust in God. Knowing this verse, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. In verse 4 of James chapter 1, he tells us, that we'll lack nothing if we do this. That we're going to grow and we're going to grow stronger and stronger. And we'll be more like Christ. More perfect, mature, full grown, complete, entire. Perfect in every part. Lacking nothing. Because we go through those trials and we persevere faithfully to God. You will lack nothing. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not be in want. I shall not lack anything. Because He is my shepherd, because I know that through these trials that I've persevered, I know that I can make it. And I will receive the blessings. The blessings of eternal life. Nothing is too difficult for the Almighty God. Nothing at all. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17. Sovereign Lord, You have made the heavens and the earth by Your great power and outstretched Your arm. Nothing is too hard for You. Nothing. He just made the heavens and the earth. He pulled that off 6 days. Everything in it. Nothing's going to be too hard for Him. Nothing is too difficult for God that can do that. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all this through Him, Christ, who strengthens, who gives me strength. In Christ we have Him on our side. And having Him on our side, we know that He is a God who nothing is too hard for. So with Him in us and strengthening us, is there anything that is too hard for us? No. Not because we are some great, powerful being, but because that which lives in us is great and powerful and almighty. But let's get real about it. Sometimes trials just aren't fun. Maybe it's some of the parents ready to give up on trying to guide the rebellious teenage son. Maybe it's the grown daughter who's tried over and over again to please her parents without success and is about ready to completely just write off the situation. Maybe it's the wife who's ready to give up on her husband and on her marriage. Maybe it's the fed-up employee who wants to honor God with his work, but he's about this far from doing what most of us would like to do at some point or other. Just tell the boss off, let him know how we really feel, and walk out the door. It's the victim of deadly disease just saying, there's no point in living anymore. What's the point? Taking their own life. But let's get real specific. Perhaps it's somebody that's in your family. Perhaps it's someone in your family that you're real close to that is just a surefire, bona fide, nothing but certified jerk. Maybe they're a non-Christian jerk. And they've done things to you that have made you not feel loved. They don't show you love the way you want to be loved. They're lazy, insensitive, selfish, and they disappoint you on every level possible. And will they change? I don't know. I can't answer that question, will they change or not? The one thing that I do know is God has a purpose for you as to why you have that relationship with that individual. And that God's plan and God's purpose never fails. So there is some reason that you are impacted by that person. And the problem, the purpose is for us to go through that trial. And it's that purpose that can bring you joy if you will trust in God and follow Him. Even if your circumstances don't change, and even if that family member stays a jerk, you can make it through. Because there's a purpose for you into why you're enduring it. Nothing is too hard for God. Yeah, but you don't know my husband. He'll never change. Nothing is too hard for God. Yeah, but you don't know my boss. Nothing is too hard for God. But you don't know my situation and what's going on in my life. Nothing is too hard for God. See, when we get in despair, it seems that we're facing impossible circumstances. God can change those to the better if it's His will. Job said, I know that you can do all things, but no plan of yours is thwarted. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, well, you don't get it. My marriage is dead. My job is dead. My situation is dead. My relationship with my children is dead. Unexistent. Well, I have some great news for you this morning. I have some absolutely fabulous news. When I hear people say that, I think, well, great. That's awesome, because I've got a God that raises the dead. He's a resurrection specialist. And you see his son who died on a tree because of my sin, he buried him in a tomb and he raised him up. You see, this God gives life to things that are dead. He can bring life to dead relationships. He is the creator. He can cause loving feelings and attitudes to be created out of nothing. He did it once before. He can do it. If your situation seems hopeless, if it seems that nothing short of a miracle could save you, don't worry. My God does miracles too. Giving up equals no harvest. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. You ever planted a garden? You plant that garden. You got weeds come in. Man, them weeds, they'll come in every time, won't they? Well, then you got insects, they start coming in. Well, my goodness, every time. And then you got the rabbit or the gopher rat, or you've got the crows that come in, the blackbirds. They just eat everything up. What does make it? But if you give up at any point during that time, what happens? You get no harvest. You get nothing. Because you just give up. Let them have it. Whatever. Don't care anymore. And giving up is just simply not an option. Joy Atkinson. Maybe you can read that. I tried to fit it all just on one so you could look at it all at the same time. This is a poem by Joy Atkinson. Sometimes it's all I can do to take another step. Then God reminds me gently of the promises He's kept. At times I want to say, I quit. I've had all that I can take. It's hard to live by my own words. I feel like such a fake. I've tried so hard to be a light, so that the Lord above could use me as a vessel to emanate His love. Giving up is not an option. I've trusted God too long. Even though my way is rough, He keeps me safe and strong. I know God is on my side. The victory has been won by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. Lord, don't let me lose my faith. Help me to live each day contented in Your love and peace as You gently lead the way. I'll tell you one thing. Whenever I'd play sports, it was always so easy to go and play a game when you knew for a fact that you had the upper hand and that you ought to win this game. It was easy to go in to that game. It's easy to step onto the diamond or walk onto the field or step onto the court when you knew that you were supposed to win. Because you're bigger, you're faster, you're stronger, you're more accurate. By every way that you compare each team, you ought to win. Boy, you walk out on that court and you play like there's no tomorrow because you know you can't mess up. Because you know that, man, we are going to kill these guys. That's what it's like being an Alabama fan. It's just so wonderful every day that you walk out there, you know, man, we're going to win. But to go and you go, man, I know we're going to win. That's what's going to happen, is we are going to win. And after Christ has done what He's done for you, every day You can walk out and you can wake up and you go, I know I'm going to win. Because you know He's already won the victory. He's already won the battle. Because of what He did for you so long ago. And it's because of what He did for me so long ago that I absolutely refuse to give up. And I know that giving up is not an option. If you're here this morning and you have thought about it, you've played with the idea around, maybe I'll give up. But I just want to quit. Because there's not any point to it anymore. Well, then the next lesson is going to be really good for you to keep on keeping on. But why would you leave here this morning and not have your life in good standing with God? Why would you do that? You should not do that. If you're subject to the invitation anyway, please come as we stand and as we sing.